It's time for a pause in your day. Welcome to a podcast where we press the pause button on our busy lives for a few moments, and we focus on God's Word with Sharon and Nicole. We pray this is a time of refreshing for you. The Sweet Selah Moments podcast is a cooperative production of Word Radio and Sweet Selah Ministries.
Welcome to Sweet Selah Moments. This is episode 140. When is it time to rest? Today, as we close out our winter-spring season of podcasting, we want to revisit that elusive word, rest. I don't know about you, but my life is busy. Even when I try really hard to keep it uncluttered, if I don't intentionally set aside time to rest, rest will just not happen.
Same here, Nicole, even without children and puppies. No matter what age or stage, it seems that we can always find something else to do.
Always.
Always. And yet, God calls us to rest in Him over and over and over again. Why is it we find ourselves feeling guilty when we stop when He tells us to do it?
I know, that's a good question. I know, I get hung up on this earning of rest, you know, feeling like I deserve it after I work hard for it. And when I do rest, I see all the undoneness around me and feel like I should be doing all the things.
Yeah. Yep.
It's so hard to get my focus off of what I need to accomplish or earn for rest when God is just offering it to me freely.
Exactly. And you're right. One of the secrets is you can't wait till you're done.
Because you'll never,
you'll never be done. There's always another task.
Yep.
Always, always, always. And I think the American work ethic that we have is good in the sense that we all work hard and accomplish a lot.
Sure.
But bad in the sense that we put our value in what we do, not in whose we are.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
I mean, think about a lot of our ancestors that came over and were hardworking farmers, and they had to work and work. But that's in our bones.
It's
in our heritage.
Genes. It absolutely is. So therefore, work feels laudatory. Mm-hmm. Rest feels slothful.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Or extra or silly or, you know, frivolous. Yeah. That's the word.
Frivolous.
It feels frivolous. Like, oh, you rest? Oh, well, that must be nice.
That must be nice. Yeah. And then the good guy is one that says, well, I wish I had time to rest, but I am too busy doing important things.
Exactly. But I'm working. Rest is not for me because I'm working hard.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, today we are going to look at some of my very favorite scriptures on rest and learn some vital lessons about our absolute need for it, whether we think we have time for it or not.
Yep.
So let's start at the very, very beginning. Nicole, why don't you read our first passage of the day?
Perfect. I'm reading from Genesis 2, verses 1 through 3. So the creation of the heavens and the earth and everything in them was completed. On the seventh day, God had finished His work of creation, so He rested from all His work. And God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy, because it was the day when He rested from all His work of creation. So this is interesting. You know what I just realized?
What?
That He created rest, and Adam and Eve rested before they ever did work.
Their first day was rest.
Their first day of existence. They were made on the sixth day, right? It was six.
Mm-hmm.
And the next day they rested before they ever did anything. Mm-hmm. God did the work for us. He made all of creation and then rested to show us because He didn't need it. But then Adam and Eve rested before they did anything else.
Isn't that the nicest?
What?
They could just hang out and look at all the new birds and animals and all the things.
Because God did the work for them. Yeah. Isn't that such a beautiful start to this whole concept of rest?
Gorgeous. It is. And I mean, talk about it being established at the beginning.
Yeah.
On the first week.
Yep.
It was established.
So it's very important. And I don't know why we fight it so much and overlook it so much.
I know it.
We need it, Sharon. We need it.
We do. Rest is a blessed thing.
Yes.
So God didn't just want to rest Himself. He wants us to rest.
Yes.
And I love that resting is one of the big 10 in the 10 commandments. That has always fascinated me because I feel like we know thou shalt not murder still applies.
Mm-hmm.
We know that committing adultery is still wrong. You know, all of those are 10 commandment things.
Right.
But somehow we walk away from the rest one. So,
yeah.
So anyways, I'm going to read from Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. This is our next passage on rest. Remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, But the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. Hmm. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes, just in case you think there's an exception clause.
That one kid, they can still work.
I know it. Okay. This includes you, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, your livestock, and any foreigners living among you. Hmm. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in them. But on the seventh day he rested. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy.
Yes.
So God established a pattern of work and rest for his people Israel. That is so clear. And you know, Jesus didn't not do it. He changed it a bit because it became very legalistic and choking. Mm-hmm. But he observed Sabbath. He went to synagogue like everybody else. He was in the synagogue on Sabbath. He definitely healed people on the Sabbath when they came across his path.
Yes.
But he was, you know, the other healing days were there too. Mostly he rested.
Yeah.
He clarified Sabbath though. He said in Mark 2:27 that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Mm. Because what had happened was the Pharisees and the other religious leaders were so diligent in keeping it that they'd made it exhausting.
Right.
It didn't feel restful at all. Whoa, don't walk too far. You can only take so many steps or it's work. Yeah. Well, what's restful for you is a long walk through the woods. Mm. Oh, nope, can't do it.
Too many steps.
Yep. And then the disciples got in trouble for taking grain and rubbing it between their hands to eat it because that's work. So basically, they'd robbed the Sabbath of what it originally meant. What do you think Jesus meant when he said the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath?
I believe that God truly wanted to bless us with the Sabbath. You know, it was a way of showing us our smallness, that our never doneness, that we will always feel. And we need to feel that we'll never be done, because it points us to him and how he completes all things and how he keeps the world running, not us. And it keeps us humble. I think there's a humility in, well, I haven't earned this rest, and there's a million things that I will have to do until I die, but God gave me this gift. So there's joy in that. I think they had lost the joy of the Sabbath trying to keep it as a rule.
Right. It was an annoyance to them instead of a, we get to rest. Seriously?
Yes.
This is so cool.
It's like a snow day. Well, you know what's neat about the Ten Commandments? There's the one about the Sabbath, and the ones after that, I had read recently that those are, you kind of need to be in a place of rest. It's like a transition. The Sabbath day and keep it holy, it's kind of the transition commandment to the other ones that spring from a life of obedience and rest. I thought that was really
interesting.
It's kind of like, of all, like, don't murder. Yeah, that's a good one. Don't be envious. Don't steal. We'll keep the Sabbath day holy. Well, that doesn't feel as heavy as like not murdering.
But
it's very, it was important
it
enough.
It was that important.
For God to make it a commandment.
Right.
Because he knows we are better when we rest in him.
Absolutely. And I know there are a million different opinions on Sabbath even today. I'm going to share mine, but I don't say that it's the one you have to do at all.
Right.
It's just as I wrestled with this, what I came up with.
Yeah.
And I kept in mind that doctors, you know, are on call on Sundays, and I'm awfully glad they are.
Yes.
Hello. If I had a heart attack on a Sunday, I'd hate for everybody to be going, or Saturday or whatever day. Sorry, can't help you today.
It's my rest day.
Firemen still, you know, hose down burning buildings if it happens on what we would call a Sabbath day. So I knew that it couldn't be strictly kept, but I kind of liked the thought that you work for six, do ordinary work, and then you set aside a day for him one way or another. So when the girls were in high school, I started something I call Sabbathing.
I love it.
Because
we're making it a verb.
I made it a verb. And I would tell my family, because they were new to this, and I didn't make anybody else do it. This was my thing. It was my conviction. It wasn't law. It was just my conviction. And I would tell them, if you need any help, including you, Raymond, my husband, like if you want to wash the car, it has to be done Saturday during the day, because once the sun goes down, I'm not working. Oh, it felt so good to say it. So they would have to remember, you know, anything that they needed help with, to get help with it, because I really did, you know, I'd have supper and then I would just read books.
Oh, that's so nice.
You know, watch maybe a TV show. I'd take long walks. Yeah. I would nap on the Sunday after church. And then Sunday night, I'd be helping them get ready for school the next day.
Yeah.
But I took the 24 hours, kind of like the Jewish people do. They go sundown to sundown. And I found that worked better for me.
That does work really well. Doing a whole 24 hours in one day is kind of, it's almost a little impossible.
It is.
But I love the sundown Saturday, because Sunday evening is a great day to prep for the week ahead.
Absolutely.
If you're busy enough, kiddos and everything else. So having that evening is, but you're ready for it. It's kind of like a special quiet time now. Like I get to sit there and I'm rested. It's become a joy to plan my week on Sunday nights now.
Instead
of like, oh, I hate planning. Because I'm rested.
Because you're rested and you can go into it. So I call it Sabbathing. And then if I speak at a retreat, I'm not resting.
Yeah.
But then I try to find another day during the week.
Yes.
That's my Sabbathing, you know.
And that's
day.
Okay, because it's not legalistic. You don't need to only rest on Sunday.
Yeah.
Obviously, our pastors can't rest on Sundays.
Exactly.
They get all of 3 hours between morning and evening events.
Yeah.
So they have to pick a different day to Sabbath.
Right, right.
And that's totally fine.
It is. I think it is. I think the concept is 6 days of work, one day set apart, holy, different day. And whenever it is, it's because it's for your good.
Yes.
We're not bowing to Sabbath. Sabbath is not an idol. It's given to us because we need it. Our bodies need rest.
And I think even if we're starting from a place of super busy, super crazy schedules, even if we can't give a full 24 hours or a full day, even if we're intentional about a few hours to start out with, just being submissive in that and sacrificial in that time, like, okay, God, I'm giving you these 3 hours today where I'm going to rest, or whatever it is. We can start small, I think, if it feels daunting to take a whole day.
Yes, we can.
Especially where you're just kind of trying to figure out where to fit it in. It grows into something more.
Right, right. And like I said, that's a conviction. It's not, I'm not preaching it for everybody, but that's what has worked for me.
Yeah, for sure.
So, okay.
Well, I'm going to read Psalm 23. I've always loved this psalm. So I'll read the first three verses as they emphasize rest really well. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green pastures. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along the right paths, bringing honor to his name. I just read that in two different versions because I memorized it in a different version. That's funny. Green meadows. This reminds me of my little girl when she memorized this when she was in, I think she was kindergarten.
Yeah.
He lets me lay down in green grass. Or he lets me sit in green grass. I love that.
He lets me.
He lets me sit in green grass, she said. Oh, I love this. He is our good shepherd, though. God knew that we can't just stop everything. And you know, he provides all that we need first. We really have all that we need to rest. We don't need to do as much as we think we do. Mm-mm. We don't need to have everything perfectly organized. We can just rest as we are.
Exactly so. And I love verse 3. He renews my strength. Well, first you've rested in the green meadows. You've had the peaceful streams. And that in itself renews our strength.
Yeah.
And from that, we can go back and work again.
And then he guides me along the right paths to bring honor to his name. So there's the rest, there's the renewal, and then there's the getting back to work
refreshed.
There's a nice pattern to it.
So, so good. It's like, I really can nap. It's all right.
It's safe.
So, but we're foolish sheep sometimes.
Yes.
We think we have to work and fret and worry all the time, even though it does no good.
Mm.
So Psalm 127 kind of scolds us for overworking. So now we've heard the shepherd say rest.
Yes.
Now we're going to get a scolding. So I'm reading verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 127. It says this, "Unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted. Unless the Lord protects the city, guarding it with sentries will do you no good. It is useless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, anxiously working for food to eat. For God gives rest to his loved ones."
Oh.
Isn't this the coolest?
It's
like, you know what? You can work and work and work and work and work, and it will do you no good anyways unless God is in it.
Right.
Right? You can build the strongest house in the world, and an earthquake or a sinkhole can, whoosh, there it is.
And it's
just
gone.
Gone. Right? So basically, rest.
Yeah.
Don't frantically work every second of every day.
Panicking, you won't have enough to eat because God's going to provide for us.
Yeah. So that is so good. So God tells us to rest. Do you? How about you and your kids? Do you let your children rest? Or are you like, no, no, work all the time? What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, goodness. I had learned early on with my oldest, she would come home from school and be just so exhausted. And then before I asked her about her day, I would take her and give her some crayons and let her go rest in the corner and just color. Because she was so frazzled and so like miserable little thing. She was all grumpy. But then she was fine when she had time to rest and decompress. Earthly mom, my kids now are, you know, they're in sports and they have instruments and school and they're busy little things, but giving them the opportunity to rest, they're so much better for it. And it's a joy to help them rest.
Yes.
Because it's like a gift I can offer them. And I think about God is such a way better parent than I am to me. So he also finds joy in seeing us rest. He wants us to be at our best for him. He doesn't want frantic, exhausted soldiers for Christ marching on until our boots fall off our feet because blisters. You know? He's very kind. He wants us to have rest.
And wisely, it's when we're rested that we do the best anyways.
It's true. Because we're not dogging along one foot in front of the other on our own strength.
Right.
It stops us to remember to look up to him.
It does. That's why it's a holy day.
Yeah.
You know, it's a day set apart to remember he's in charge.
That's true. Because if we just took a day for ourselves, it's not quite as restful.
No.
There's something different about that.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, let's look at one more rather disastrous story where the Israelites got themselves in trouble. Oh, they were about to be attacked. And in a panic, they tried to make a treaty with Egypt to help them and didn't reach out to the Lord, which would have been a far wiser thing to do.
Probably.
So Isaiah 30, 15 to 19 says this. This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. Only in returning to me and resting in me will you be saved. In quietness and confidence is your strength. But you would have none of it. You said, oh no, we will go get help from Egypt. They will give us swift horses for riding into battle. But the only swiftness you are going to see is the swiftness of your enemies chasing you.
Oof.
One of them will chase 1,000 of you. 5 of them will make you all flee. You will be left like a lonely flagpole on a hill or a tattered banner on a distant mountaintop. So the Lord must wait for you to come to him so he can show you his love and compassion. For the Lord is a faithful God. Blessed are those who wait for his help. Oh, people of Zion who live in Jerusalem, you will weep no more. He will be gracious if you ask for help. He will surely respond to the sound of your cries. So I love the fact that when they're rushing around, ask Egypt, we'll do all these things.
Right.
They're just making it worse.
Yeah,
I can do that. I can make it worse. In a panic, I can spill the coffee because I'm not careful, and I can do all the things wrong because I'm too frantic.
Oh, yeah.
It's in quietness and confidence that my strength comes. It's the stopping when I'm scared and getting help.
Yes. Even in an emergency, just a quick 3-second closing of my eyes, Lord, help me. It just resets our bodies.
It gets
our body out of that fight or flight where we're not functioning at our best and our most fluid, where we are jerking around and anxious. So there's something about just recentering our focus on God that gives us that calm to think more logically, I think.
I agree.
You know, so we're not running to Egypt to make
make better decisions. And you really get God's perspective here. He's like, what are you doing?
Right.
Oh my goodness, you are going to be so in trouble. And now I must wait.
Right. I must wait for you to come to
me. I mean, he could force them, but that's not God's way. He wants us to come.
Yeah.
He tells us all the time, come to me, you know, and we don't. So he must wait.
And, you know, sometimes even just the act of stopping to acknowledge him and remembering the big picture, the big plan, sometimes the emergencies just seem to fizzle down a little bit.
They do.
That maybe missing your flight, or we were at the airport recently and it was just chaos. And I was like, let's breathe. We got this, Josh. Let's pray. And it did. We calmed right down. We weren't frantic about missing the flight and everything worked out. And it's not the end of the world. We could just reschedule a flight.
Exactly.
No one's going to lose a limb. But in the moment, things feel so huge and so emergent, you know.
Yep.
But I think just stopping to refocus on God, it just makes it, oh, this isn't really life or death. It's okay.
It really isn't. Yes. And if he really is in charge of us, and he is.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And he really is sovereign and has things planned out.
Yeah.
And he does. then even a missed flight can be an opportunity for something we don't
exactly.
know.
Exactly. What if there's a person that you speak to?
Exactly.
You just don't know. We have to trust him and breathe when these things feel so huge.
Yes. Yes. And remember, when we turn to him, we remember he's right there.
Yes.
It's not like he leaves us.
Right.
Right in the chaos, he walks us through it.
Mm.
We just have to remember he's there. I can remember a chaotic time where I remembered the verse where his righteous right hand will hold me so I don't have to be afraid.
Oh.
And I just pictured it. Half the time I had my little hand up just imagining him holding it because
right.
I was scared. But my big father's hand was holding mine.
Oh.
So I wasn't going anywhere. He wasn't going with me.
Right. Oh, I love
so
that.
So we have got to stop
yes.
when the bad things happen and yep. rest for just a little second
yes.
And look at him. So there's so many more verses. I had to stop because I'm like, okay, so this podcast could be 75 minutes long. You know, the verses that talk about Jesus getting up early to find times to pray.
Yeah.
Jesus was so crowded by people. He
oh,
had
yeah.
very little freedom.
Yeah.
So what did he do? He went without sleep because it was that important to get the restfulness of being alone with God.
Yes.
And maybe he slept there. Sometimes in my quiet times, I pray, sleep, pray, sleep, pray.
I love that.
Yeah, yeah. So the aloneness with his father is where he regathered his strength.
Mm.
So he called his disciples to come away and get rest in Mark 6 when they got interrupted by the crowds. He
oh,
did the crowds,
right. yeah.
but then he sent them away again. And he went up into the mountains to be alone.
It was so important to him.
It was so important to him. You know, and I also discovered a bit of rest that Jesus chose shortly before he was crucified.
Oh,
I noticed it when I was writing the Bible study I wrote on the book of John. He had just raised Lazarus from the dead.
Yeah.
And the plots to kill him were multiplying.
Mm-hmm.
And there he is resting. I didn't know this part. Nicole, read it for us. It's John 11, 53 to 54. I love this so much.
Oh, fun. So from this time on, the Jewish leaders began to plot Jesus' death. As a result, Jesus stopped his public ministry among the people and left Jerusalem. He went to a place near the wilderness, to the village of Ephraim, and stayed there with his disciples. What? I have never seen that verse before.
Until I did the Bible study on it, I hadn't either.
That's amazing.
He has a wilderness time right before the crucifixion, just like he had a wilderness time right before he started his ministry.
Wow.
And I don't know how long it was.
That's amazing.
But he went to a place near the wilderness and stayed there.
See, and that's a good example too, because sometimes if I sit in the middle of my house, I see all the needs and the things and the kids. There's something about removing ourselves from the things that distract us. I mean, Jesus could have been endlessly busy on earth, healing all the brokenness and all the things, but he knew his mission to the cross was the ultimate
yes.
healing for everyone. And
yes.
so he removed himself from the needy people and the distractions that were always there to prepare himself for the big rescue
exactly.
plan.
Exactly. Before the work of the cross,
yeah.
there was a rest.
That's so beautiful.
Isn't that so cool?
I didn't know
it
that.
It really is. Yeah, I was so happy when I found that.
Oh.
Well then, there are so many commands to rest. We really ought to take them seriously.
Yes, we should.
Our bodies need it. One of our speakers at the Refuge Retreat this past fall was Dr. Sandra Dalton Smith.
Mm.
She's written a wonderful book that I've underlined
It's so good.
Called Sacred Rest. So she shares from a medical and spiritual perspective our body's many needs for rest in 7 specific areas.
Mm-hmm.
Not just the need for sleep, but the
yeah.
need for mental rest and social rest and emotional rest.
Yes.
So I recommend it. It's
mm-hmm.
so thought-provoking, and if you still feel you need permission to rest, Dr. Sandra will give you that permission. So, but okay, let's finish by getting as practical as we can. We're going to come into July Rest Month soon. We always rest for the month of July, and I so love that month.
Yes.
It's the month where our entire ministry stops every single thing, and we do nothing. It's so fun.
It's wonderful.
So, Nicole, why don't you walk us through what you and Josh have implemented in order to rest in your own busy family, and then I'll share some things too.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk, I mean, because we're in this ministry
yeah.
and we try to practice it, even though we still find it hard.
Yes. We still struggle with it. It's not like it's natural. Every Sunday is perfectly lovely.
Yeah.
So it's funny. When we first started talking about this, I was so excited to implement this and made rather a daunting list of things I wanted to do or felt I needed to do in order to have the perfect Sabbath rest day. You know, prepare things before. Well, we've only probably ever had two perfectly orchestrated Sabbath days where I did, like, the laundry was done, the house was clean. It's impossible.
Of course.
I feel God has shown me so gently through all of this with four busy little girls and a husband and dogs that rest truly is a gift.
Yeah.
I have collapsed into Sabbath rest more times than I have jaunted in with my plan. Let me tell you. You know, it's a gift that I can't earn. I am never done enough to feel like I can make it on my own, you know? So it's become more of a surrender that I still have so much to do, but I'm trusting God that he has it and that I can rest in him, even with the dishes full in the sink. And, you know, it's still okay. I can still benefit from this gift despite me not earning it. So as a big family, I like to have us rest separately for a while. So sometimes the girls, you know, they fight because I have four girls from 7 to 13.
Yes.
So they're all a little annoyed with each other. So everyone goes into a different area of the house. They get to do whatever they want to do. It's their fun. Like, oh, great time to pull out that big Lego set, the big coloring page, whatever. Get out the bigger items to play with. So everyone has some quiet rest time on their own. I love to read or to crochet or to knit or nap. Napping has been happening a lot lately. if the weather is good, we'll go for a walk or we'll go outside. My husband likes to disc golf, so he'll take the kids disc golfing sometime. We'll do like a small family activity. And if it's crummy weather and we're all exhausted, snuggles on the couch with popcorn and a movie.
I love it.
Or we'll do a game day. So we try to do intentionally separate Sabbath rest time and then intentional together time on
a
Sunday.
That.
Yeah. We do have Sunday evening activities, which I'm still praying about because it makes our Sabbath day very short, like 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
So
that's
tough. So we kind of, on those days, we just rest. Like, I'm napping.
We're not
playing Monopoly. Mama's napping. You guys can go play outside.
Right.
But we found that, you know, it's okay to just rest on those days.
I
try to make a crock pot meal the night before, or we just do subs. We just throw together some food easily. And we try not to schedule events where we're all separate on Sundays.
Uh-huh.
So we'll go to like a family party together or something. Uh-huh. We try not to all scatter to the four corners of the world because, you know, the kids are
getting older. You do that enough. So.
Yes, during the week we're everywhere, but Sunday is family day.
I like that.
That's what we've got. Nothing fancy, just...
Yep. That was my parents, too. We always took a family walk and rested on a Sunday.
Yeah.
And the rest of the week, we could, you know, we could do our own things.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
But it's nice that the walks are nice.
Yeah.
Especially now it's getting warmer
outside. The walks are beautiful. So I feel like, again, the Sabbath was made for man.
Mm-hmm.
So what are the things that feel restful?
Yeah.
What are the things that make me set it apart as a holy, a separated day?
Yes.
You know, whatever that is. So, yeah. And then there's also the other things we do that are restful, that aren't Sabbathings.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I start my day with a quiet time.
Oh,
and
yes,
I absolutely am with Jesus there. I would rather get up early and have my time with God than stumble through the day without him. I've learned the hard way that even if it's short, you know, so I have my quiet time in the morning. And then I always have reading without electronics and warm milk in the cookie before I go to bed every night. And I'll tell you what, it sets my body for sleep.
That's so important.
It does. My body's now, warm milk, cookie. I know what this means. It means you're going to fall asleep soon.
Yes.
So it's just a rhythm that I have, a rhythm of rest. So, so my day is bookended with rest. And now that I'm in my 60s, I need an hour to an hour and a half after lunch every day to rest again, which I didn't used to need. And it's a little annoying. But I do a lot of hard work in between.
Yeah.
And if that's what this little old body needs now, and it means that I can still do all the things I love to do.
Right.
I also nap.
That's so great.
Isn't that so fun? And then, of course, we've talked in the past about Selah days. Once a month, I take a day and run away with the Lord or stay home with the Lord.
Yes.
But it's a Sabbathing idea where I'm just reading the books that I've laid aside that help me study him better, reading the Word, praying, napping.
Yeah. That's so good. I forget about the intentional stoppings through our daily days, too, that we need. We need to be reminded of him so often.
We do. Yeah. We really do.
It's, we're just, like you said, starting a day without him in the morning is always awful.
It's always awful.
It's, I'll get a really good rhythm going where I'm getting up early and meeting with him, and my day is just so much better. It's not perfect.
No.
But I'm responding so much better to the chaos around me.
Yes.
And then if something happens, like we stay up late one night for something, then I get up late, then I'm grumpy, that I stay up late. It's awful. It's like one bad decision just spirals the whole thing. But once you've had that rhythm of rest, to lose it, you're like, oh, I gotta get back. Like, I need him.
I need
these moments, like those bookends, like you said, like the quiet at night and the quiet in the morning.
Yeah.
Without those, I'm a mess.
Me too. And I want to be nice.
I do.
And it's hard for me to be nice unless I've had those quiet moments.
I want my kids to like being with mama.
Yes, there you go. Well, we need to stop, but we could talk about this forever. Yeah. And if you want to see more, just look at our website. So let me pray for us. Oh, Father, thank you for this season. Thank you for all Nicole and I have personally learned about the early church, about you, about boldness and witnessing for you, all the things. And Father, thank you for the gift of rest. The fact that you want us to, you call us to, you actually command us to stop. Lord, help us to be good workers and good stoppers. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. It's hard to believe we are finished with our 9th season of podcast. We hope that as summer approaches, you will carve out some time to rest. When is it time to rest? Well, the answer to our question today is when God says it's time to rest. Not when the work is necessarily done, because that will never happen. Let's be intentional and plan rest into our lives. Sharon and I have discovered that when we rest, we are able to accomplish so much more. How about you? Have you got any rest stories for us? We'd love to hear them. Write us at sharon@sweetsela.org or through our website, sweetsela.org/podcast. We'll be back in September with a whole new season of sharing with you. Until then, may God grant you moments of rest, and thanks so much for listening.
We are so glad you stopped for a while with us. The Sweet Sela Moments podcast is a cooperative production of Word Radio and Sweet Sela Ministries. More information about this podcast can be found at sweetsela.org. Thank you for joining us.